Good morning, and welcome to the Rockville Financial Fourth Quarter 2012 Earnings Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Marlees Shaw, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to our fourth quarter conference call. Before we begin, we would like to remind you to read our safe harbor advisement on forward-looking statements on our earnings announcement. Forward-looking statements, by their nature, are subject to risks and uncertainties. Certain factors could cause actual results to differ materially from expected results. Our comments today are intended to qualify for the safe harbor afforded by that advisement. Now I would like to introduce Bill Crawford, our Chief Executive Officer and President.
Thanks, Marlees. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on today's call and for your continued interest in our company. Yesterday afternoon, we released fourth quarter earnings. This morning, I'll review some of the highlights of the strategies resonating in the fourth quarter results, and then my team will provide more detailed overview of the quarter. With me this morning is John Lund, our Chief Financial Officer, Scott Bechtel, our Chief Risk Officer, Mark Cuccia, Head of Commercial Banking, Eric Newell, Director of Treasury, and Rino Santarelli, Chief Operating Officer. I'm very pleased to announce that Rockville reported record fourth quarter earnings of $0.16 per share. Return on average assets for the quarter was 88 basis points. Rockville continues to be focused on organic growth, as reflected in both the substantial increase in loans and deposits in both the linked quarter and for the year. Profits continue to be driven by earning asset growth, mortgage banking originations, and sales in the secondary market. The company's been working hard to transform the mortgage line of business, and it continues to develop and achieve process improvements. Mortgage production increased to a record $87 million in the fourth quarter, and the company recognized $1.3 million of gains on loan sales in the quarter, contributing to a 20% increase in annual core operating revenue year-over-year. The company achieved record quarterly earnings despite a 20% increase in year-over-year fourth quarter core operating expenses. Expense growth has been primarily driven by increase in salary and benefits costs as the company built out its support team and revenue-producing areas. Going forward, the company will primarily focus hiring in revenue-producing areas such as commercial banking, mortgage banking, retail, and financial advisory services. Of note, our West Hartford Banking Center opened last week and represents an exciting business model for the company. In addition to the retail team, the composition also includes mortgage professionals, commercial bankers, a private banker, and a financial advisor, all from large competitors in the West Hartford market. All of our customers' financial needs will be met in one location, and this model will enhance our ongoing focus on organic business growth. At Rockville, we remain committed to shareholder return and executing on sound capital management principles. The company paid both regular quarterly dividend and a special cash dividend in the fourth quarter. We also executed 61% of the stock buyback program as of December 31, 2012. All in, the company returned 231% of its 2012 net income to shareholders during the year. We recognize that 2013 will be a difficult operating for banks, with asset yields continuing to decline and pressuring margins. At Rockville, we will always work thoughtfully in the best interest of shareholders, carefully navigate through these challenges without compromising our core values. At this time, I'd like to personally thank our employees for their continued focus on delivering superior customer service, which is the driver of our success every day. Now I'd like to turn the call over to John Lund, our CFO, to provide some further detail on the quarter's results.
Thank you, Bill, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our call today. I will review our fourth quarter operating results and financial position as described in our earnings release yesterday afternoon. As Bill indicated, the company reported record fourth quarter earnings. Net income for the quarter ended December 31, 2012, of $4.3 million, or 16 cents per share, is largely reflective of the company's commercial banking expansion and mortgage banking business development. Net gains from sale of loans were $1.3 million in the fourth quarter 2012 and $4.4 million for the year. This is a $2.7 million, or 158% increase in net gains from sales of loans over the prior year. I caution, however, that while the 2012 results were substantially driven by volume increases, that earnings also benefited from market spreads which were exceptionally wide. We experienced narrowing of spreads in the fourth quarter to some extent and are currently observing much narrower spreads. Net interest income benefited from the $42 million linked quarter increase in earning assets. Total loans increased $57 million, or 4%, during the linked quarter, comprised largely of commercial loan growth, which Mark Cuscia will discuss in more detail shortly. The net interest margin was influenced by the declining loan yields and decreased to 3.74% on a tax-equivalent basis for the fourth quarter from 3.8% in the prior quarter. The company has largely realized the benefits of deposit pricing, and any incremental benefit in the cost of funds will be achieved through continued migration to core deposits from time deposits and from composition changes as the company focuses on increasing non-interest-bearing deposits. We are certainly mindful that this artificially low rate environment presents significant challenges to maintaining margins. In this environment, we will seek to continue to mitigate interest rate risk through continued proactive asset liability management and continually assess our interest rate sensitivity position. Regarding non-interest expenses, on a year-over-year basis, the $3.3 million, or 28% increase, was primarily concentrated in salaries and benefits expense. The salaries and benefits expense increase of $3.3 million, or 56%, is reflective of higher staffing levels. 50 full-time equivalent employees were hired throughout the 12-month period ending December 31, 2012, comprised of about 10 in the commercial banking department, 30 in the mortgage banking business line, and 10 in support of the West Hartford Banking Center. Additionally included is the impact of the June 2012 stock awards to officers, which reflects a $328,000 increase in fourth quarter benefits expense. Annual salaries and benefits expense also included the impact of higher pension expense in 2012, which was increased by $864,000, or 112%, over the 2011 expense. The company announced last quarter that it would be hard freezing the plan as of December 31, 2012. For 2013, it is expected that the incremental decrease in pension expense will approximate $1.1 million and continue to diminish over time based on current modeling. The company did contract with an efficiency consultant in the fourth quarter with the goal to benchmark itself against other high performers in order to fine-tune processes and position the company for success in the future. To conclude, we are pleased with the strong operating results for the quarter and the continued organic growth the company is experiencing. We were also delighted to share those strong results with our shareholders by way of dividends, representing 94% of the company's earnings for the year. Going forward, we continue to focus on capital management, prudent growth, maintaining asset quality, and on seeking opportunities to mitigate interest rate risk. Eric Newell, our Director of Treasury, will now provide further detail on the company's interest rate risk management strategy.
Thank you, John, and good morning. Management has been very focused on interest rate risk throughout 2012 and will remain so in 2013. The company is taking incremental steps to alter the balance sheet to position it for a rising rate environment, including a modest extension of the duration of liabilities by opportunistically using wholesale funding and incenting retail customers to go out on the curve. Additionally, the company has been reducing the duration of the asset side of the balance sheet through several steps. First, a secondary mortgage strategy whereby the company is selling most 15, 20, and 30-year fixed-rate loans where spreads are favorable. Second, we're adding more shorter duration and adjustable rate earning assets, such as quarterly adjustable guaranteed SBA and USDA loans. And finally, we are implementing a barbell approach in the investment portfolio to improve on a relative basis the price impact of rising rates versus a ladder approach. Importantly, the company is now using and has the ability to offer both macro and loan level hedging as interest rate risk management tools. At this time, Mark will provide some further detail on the company's commercial banking business.
Thank you, Eric, and good morning, everyone. Despite significant payoffs, total commercial loans grew by approximately $130 million, or nearly 17% for the year, boosted by a strong fourth quarter. Of that growth, commercial real estate loans grew by $102 million, or approximately 17% for the year, and C&I loans grew by $28 million, or nearly 20% for the year. The pipeline is solid, and we expect the historical trend of strong commercial loan growth to continue. To support this effort, we continue to recruit top commercial bankers to expand our production capacity statewide. I would note, however, that currently the commercial loan environment is extremely competitive, which will impact production opportunities as we go forward. Rockville will continue to maintain the credit disciplines and principles which have provided strong loan growth and excellent asset quality over the years. At this time, Scott will provide some further detail on the company's asset quality.
Thank you, Mark, and good morning, everyone. Rockville's asset quality remains strong and continues to be top amongst its peer group by nearly every performance metric. Net charge-offs to average loans outstanding at December 31, 2012 was 0.04% and is nominal at 0.07% for the year 2012. Total non-performing assets to total assets was 0.95%. Note that the net credit losses and non-performing loan ratios have crept up slightly over the year and continue to reflect Rockville's proactive approach to early identification of potential problem loans, aggressive remediation efforts, and the continued hurdles faced in a highly competitive market and challenging economic environment. The allowance for loan losses was increased accordingly during the fourth quarter to $18.5 million. At December 31, 2012, the ratio of allowance for loan losses to non-performing loans was a comfortable 114.88%, and the allowance for loan losses to total loans was 1.15%. Thank you all for your time this morning. And now Bill, John, Mark, Eric, Marino, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. And our first question is from Mark Fitzgibbon of Sandler O'Neill & Partners.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my question.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Bill. I wondered, your headcount, I think, at the end of the year was around 331 people. What do you think that's going to look like sort of mid-year 2013?
Mark, it's, like I said, we've sloped off hiring a lot of the infrastructure folks in terms of risk and finance and operations areas like that. But opportunistically, we would look at additional mortgage bankers. We would look at additional financial advisors, and we would look at additional commercial lenders. But that depends on our ability to identify those salespeople, very high-quality salespeople. So it's difficult for me to put a number out there, but we're trying to obviously balance reinvestment in the business with current period earnings.
Okay. And then it sounded like from your comments earlier, excluding some of the efficiency benefits that you're working on, a good starting point for, you know, run rate operating expenses around $13.9 million. Am I thinking about that the right way?
John, I'll let you sort of chime in on where you see that.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable barometer. You know, we did have a lot of noise, as you know, in the quarter and the year end, and clearly we've been able to back off a lot of those one-time and non-recurring items. Certainly the Hurricane Sandy event added a lot of noise, but I think that's probably a good jumping point for us.
Okay.
Yeah, some additional color around that. You know, we're obviously a mutual thrift that's converted coming up on 2 years to a commercial bank model, and so there's a lot of projects that we do inside the company that generate professional expenses in terms of consulting, in terms of project management. And so that influences that number. We've gotten through a good deal of that. So I wanted to give that additional color there.
Okay. And I wondered if Mark might be able to give us the size of the loan pipeline and also, you know, the mortgage pipeline.
Sure. Mark, I'll let you talk about pipeline.
Sure. How are you, Mark?
Good. How are you?
Good. Very well. Not without going into specific numbers, I would say that the pipeline is, in our view, sufficient to continue with the goals that we have, which are continued double-digit growth going forward. We expect that we'll be able to continue the historical trends. But the pipeline is solid. We have brought on our lead, identified and hired our lead for our Western initiative, and we believe that's going to create additional opportunities for us as well.
And Marino, I'll let you talk about the current state of the mortgage pipeline.
Okay, well, the mortgage pipeline right now looks pretty average, like it was looking towards the end of last year. A lot will depend on what happens in February. January is typically not a big month for mortgages. We'll see what happens in February, but so far we're encouraged.
Okay. And then with respect to the buyback, you were fairly active in the fourth quarter, bought back 450,000 shares, a little over an average price of $13 a share. And in the third quarter, you guys only bought back like 28,000 shares when the stock was sort of around $12. I'm just curious why so much less activity in the third quarter versus fourth quarter.
Right. As you recall, in the third quarter, the price of the stock really started to run up on us. And in the fourth quarter, you know, we obviously reacted to that. The way we think about the buybacks is it's a risk-free transaction for us to buy back our stock. And so we're thinking about that in terms of, you know, pennies accretion, pennies dilution, what's the payback or the earn back of the tangible book dilution. So that's why we're buying it, you know, over tangible book.
Okay. And the last question I had for you is on the margin. It looks like you still have a little bit of room to take down your cost of funds. Should we anticipate sort of maybe a similar decline in the NIM in 1Q to what we saw in the 4Q?
Eric, you want to comment on NIM?
Yeah. Hey, Mark, it's Eric. I think that the NIM in the first quarter, obviously you're going to see some compression based on some of the growth that came in at the end of the fourth quarter on the earning asset side. We definitely work really hard analyzing opportunities to reduce funding on the our cost of funds on our deposit base. We try to balance that between, meeting our internal goals for deposit growth to fund, expected growth this year, and also make sure that, we try to get as much of the excess cost that we can out of that. So you'll see some compression. I don't want to necessarily, give you some guidance on how it will compare to the fourth quarter.
Okay. And obviously, Mark, what we're working on to fight the NIM is to grow earning assets, principally in the commercial area, some in the investment portfolio, and then as we continue to reinvest in our mortgage banking, we expect to continue to take more share there. And then with our financial advisors, that's really a new line of business for us that's fee-based, and we're excited about our prospects there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
And our next question is from Damon DelMonte of KBW.
Hi,
Damon.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Just a question for you to start off with on the provision outlook. With the expectation of solid loan growth coming here in 2013, can we look to see a higher level of provision as you as you try to keep reserve levels consistent with the growth?
Damon, I'll let Scott Beckler, our chief risk officer, take that question. Scott.
Good morning, Damon.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Thanks for the question. It's in our view, we feel that we're going to continue to carry appropriate levels of reserves based on the composition of the portfolio. And at this time, we don't see any large deviations from where we're carrying now to move out through the year.
Okay, so your current reserve level of 115, call it, is probably a good target to keep in the coming quarters.
At this point, based on the composition of the portfolio, we feel that's an adequate level.
Okay. And you guys are expecting, C&I and CRE growth to dominate the portfolio this year. Is that correct?
That'd be correct, yep.
Okay. And then just kind of circling back on the mortgage banking operations, how are gain on sale and margins looking so far in the first quarter versus what you saw in the fourth?
Well, if you look at the market, I mean, obviously third quarter, the market had really wide spreads in them. Fourth quarter tightened up a little bit. But if you, that market right now, those spreads are very tight. They've come in considerably, and there's a lot of volatility in mortgage spreads currently.
Okay. So directionally, they're getting thinner then.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, that's all that I had. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And next, our question is from Travis Land of Stifel Nicolaus.
Thanks. Good morning.
Hey, Travis.
Hey. In terms of mortgage banking, I know sales volumes were down this quarter, despite the fact that your gross originations were higher. I know that in the prior quarter you mentioned that there may have been some timing issues, but could you just explain to us maybe how you determine what portion of your originations each quarter will be sold versus portfolioed?
Sure. Eric, would you go through our process there?
Hey, Travis. It's Eric.
How you doing, Eric?
Good. What we decide to do, I mean, you know, we have a strategy and pricing for a secondary committee that is basically a subset of our asset liability group here, and we basically make a decision to pretty much sell the majority of our 15, 20, and 30-year production. However, we also are cognizant about where the spreads are coming in on that. So there is some, you know, opportunities for us to sell in the market. If the spreads are acceptable, we'll do that. And in other instances, we may choose to delay the purchase, so our sale. So it largely depends on what we're kind of seeing in the market and what it's giving us. But, you know, we have a strategy on how we want to price our mortgages relative to our competitors, and, you know, we want to make sure we're always in the market.
So the volume that you would portfolio seems to be more a product of the way pricing is in the secondary market as opposed to any strategy in terms of the way you want residential mortgage to trend in your portfolio. Does that make sense?
Yes, within limits. As you can notice, our mortgage portfolio has grown very, very modestly over the last several quarters, and so our strong bias is to sell, everything we can. There is an inflection point where we hold some, but clearly we don't want to materially move the size of that portfolio because we're always managing for interest rate risk, and we think long term, you just got to be careful with putting too much mortgage product on your balance sheet in this environment.
Sure. Okay, and then on expenses, over the last 6 quarters, obviously, kind of looks like core operating efficiency is trending continually higher. And I guess, you know, people have asked questions about what the expense base would be, but my question would be more geared towards how do you quantify the success of these infrastructure investments in either talent or branches or support, support functions? Is there a kind of a break-even timeline that you look at or a corresponding growth or revenue projection that would kind of help you measure success in these investments? Or, you know, maybe you can just help us understand how we can measure outside of the bank, you know, how these are paying off in the future.
Absolutely. You know, I think if you look at, commercial bankers, for example, when you hire very, very talented ones who can move a book of business, you're looking at a payback on that type of investment probably about 18 months. So maybe the range on that is 12 to 24 months. Clearly, you go build a new branch, the real return on that, payback on that, is probably more in the four and a half year range, somewhere in there at that point. Mortgage bankers, because they're commission paid by commission, have a very quick payback. What's a little harder to measure is, you know, you have to put in the infrastructure to support those mortgage bankers. But we do have, for example, profitability reporting on our entire mortgage unit, and we know what the efficiency ratio of that business is. At any point in time, if we don't like the trends in that business, we have the ability to scale that business back, if revenue or sales were to come down very significantly. So that's how we think about, really the commercial business and the mortgage business. Some of the other areas we have to invest in, risk management, that's just a function of the regulatory environment. That's a function of a $2 billion bank. When I think about our finance area, we've invested in some expertise there that allows us to do things like loan-level hedging, which we haven't really profited from that yet, but we're developing that. It's also helped us to do some things in our investment portfolio. So that's how we think about investments in the company. But it's really those investments in the company are critical to our organic strategy, and so we'll continue to look for those opportunities.
Sure. Just back on the commercial bankers, do you think that the timeline for payback, Can you quantify kind of the extension? You mentioned 12 to 24 months, but with, you know, the current environment, both on the interest rate side and the way that's impacted yields and the potential for growth, I mean, do you think that's extended beyond maybe 24 months now, or do you still think that's a good, barometer?
It puts more pressure on you to really hire talented people because your average commercial banker, you know, would have a hard time really moving business and generating profits. If you hire somebody very experienced with a very significant book, that can move that book over, the payback is shorter. We spend a lot of time on recruiting, and the people that we hire are absolutely best in the business with very large books of business, so we still feel very comfortable investing there, but we're investing in A players. I think it would be very dangerous to invest in, B or C players in this environment because your payback would be very extended for the reasons you identified.
Okay, that's helpful. And I guess maybe more specifically, I think in the past you've mentioned getting at some point to an incremental 50% efficiency ratio where every dollar of spend would generate $2 of revenue. You know, have I guess kind of building on my previous question but broadening it across the bank, do you think that the environmental pressures have kind of changed the way you think about that, or do you still think that 50% of incremental efficiency is an achievable target at some point down the road, not to put a timeline on it?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think what you do is you sort of reach your investment in your core business. You've added these salespeople stay with you, revenue continues to grow, and your expense base slows down, so you get to very favorable operating leverage. I will say this, though, this is a very difficult environment right now to grow revenue because you have volatility on mortgage spreads, you have asset yields coming down. These actions by the Federal Reserve certainly make it very difficult for anybody in the spread business. And so, the weather is what it is. We just have to manage through that. But in the end, I don't think it changes anything about where we want to go, where we want to be. The environment just makes it a little tougher to get there.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And the next question is from Brad Rixler of FIG Partners.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Brad.
Just one quick one on the slight tick up in NPLs. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit? It looks like it was across the residential and the commercial book. It was a bunch of loans. Sure. Was it one commercial loan? And also, is it a cause for concern, for 2013?
Sure. Scott, let's take that.
Good morning, Brad. It's kind of spread across residential and commercial, as you note. It's about two-thirds commercial, one-third residential.
Okay.
And on the commercial side, it was a handful of loans. No one large loan that's a concern.
Okay. And also on the buyback, I think someone else already elaborated on a little bit. Obviously, a tick up in shares this quarter versus last. You guys see that continuing for 2013 or, kind of somewhere in between? And obviously, it's market conditions, but, just trying to gauge that a little bit.
Absolutely. I will think about the buyback as a risk-free transaction. So what's the tangible book value payback period that will be acceptable to most investors when you think about pennies accretion, pennies dilution? And so we're really solving for that. We think the terminal value of the stock obviously is significantly higher than where we trade now, and that's why we like buybacks. That said, we want to also be mindful of the dilution we create by buying above tangible book. So it's sort of a balancing act. I think if you think about it in terms of a risk-free transaction, what would be acceptable to investors, that's sort of the view we take.
Okay. All right. That was helpful. Thanks, guys.
The next question is from Matthew Kelly of Stern AG.
Yeah, hi. I was curious on the mortgage banking operation. Are the current gain on sale margins you're seeing holding the 2% level?
Matt, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question?
Yeah, I know that in the text of your press release, you had mentioned that the third quarter, the average spread was 395, fourth quarter was 273, and then if you just look at the primary secondary spreads, I know they're compressed quite a bit since year end. And I was wondering, are you seeing gain on sale margins or spreads holding 2% currently?
Yeah, Eric, I'll let you take that question.
Hey, Matt. We've seen significant compression in the first quarter from the average that we reported in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Which is which is largely driven by, you know, what's been happening in the markets in terms of the 10-year and whatnot.
Yep. And then, you know, you mentioned earlier that you do track, you know, the profitability of the operation. Maybe just give us a sense of what you're seeing for, you know, pre-tax profitability on the mortgage business in isolation, or the expenses associated with that business.
Mm-hmm. Eric, I'll let you take that one.
One of the things that we look at, you know, obviously there's the fixed costs. You know, a lot of the folks that support our production unit, and then we also have some of our variable costs, so the actual producers. So when we're looking at the profitability there, you know, we largely kind of hone in on efficiency, and we look at, you know, our existing portfolio, you know, so the all-in kind of efficiency of what the portfolio is benefiting us, as well as kind of taking that and separating it from, you know, the actual kind of secondary residential secondary marketing aspect of it. So, you know, we evaluate that efficiency very frequently every month to make sure that, you know, we're happy with what we're seeing. And as Bill had earlier noted, you know, if we would make adjustments to our cost structure if we needed to, if we didn't like what we're seeing.
Matt, a little more color there. We just, you know, one of the projects we completed was the implementation of a five-serve earning model that gives us the ability to drive down into every call center we have and evaluate profitability, efficiency, resource allocation. So that's one of those projects that's been helpful for us.
Okay, gotcha. And then question on commercial real estate loan pricing. Can you give us a sense of what the origination yields were in the third quarter compared to the fourth quarter, and just any trends you're seeing there on competition?
Sure. Mark, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, clearly the market is still what I would consider hyper-competitive. Third quarter to fourth quarter probably saw some yield compression. Not, you know, I would probably put it in the maybe somewhere in the 20 to 30 bit type category, but clearly it's hyper competitive, and I think, you know, as we move forward, there's still going to be significant pressure on yields.
Okay, and maybe give us a sense of the nature of the competition. Is it bigger banks trying to, you know, come down the food chain and reestablish or regain relationships?
It runs the whole gamut, Matt. It's from banks that, you know, community banks that we compete with, insurance companies competing on commercial real estate deals, larger banks. So we, you know, in the kind of the space we're in, we do kind of run the entire gamut. I would say the bigger banks are probably you know, less involved in that marketplace than some of the, you know, when I call the bigger, the super regional type thing.
Okay.
And a little more color around that. We do use a risk-adjusted return on capital or RAROC model at the loan level and the relationship level. And so we're, you know, always trying to make very rational decisions there. And, you know, we're going to have discipline around that going forward, as we have in the past.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one at this time. And our next question is from Eric Grubelich of Highlander Bank Holdings.
Yeah, hi.
Hey,
hi, good morning. Just a couple of questions. I think Eric Newell talked about, you know, trying to extend your investment portfolio, and talked about, you know, trying to offload more fixed-rate loans and add adjustable rate. I was just curious, you know, your securities portfolio is all not that big. Is there something else where you're envisioning bolting on more securities at the longer end of the curve, or is it just managing what you have a little different?
We are looking to expand it probably on the shorter end of the curve, and I'll let Eric talk about that.
Good morning, Eric. In terms of how we're looking at the portfolio, we always analyze how it, you know, that represents the investment portfolio as a percentage of total assets. And, you know, we're willing to grow that modestly throughout 2013. You know, we kind of are cognizant of where we stand relative to our peers. In terms of that growth, we've been looking at using a barbell approach. So it's not necessarily just focusing on the long end of the curve, or long end, but also, you know, looking at adjustable rate opportunities, and you know, there has been some opportunity, you know, that we've seen recently to to execute that successfully. But I think, you know, the long end of the curve was something that we focused in on in 2012, illustrated by the addition of the municipal portfolio, where most of that has a average, you know, expected life of 7 to 10 years based on call dates.
Okay. And then, so if you're going to do that, though, barring any huge growth on the deposit side, are you going to try and do a match book then with something similar on the liability side, like an advance, to grow it?
We, obviously look to organic deposit growth first, but, you know, definitely if growth is expected to exceed that deposit growth, you know, we'll look opportunistically to make sure that, you know, in the wholesale funding providers, whether it be the Federal Home Loan Bank, you know, using Fed funds or looking at brokered deposits, you know, and we will use that to fund some of the growth.
Okay. And then
with the way deposits work right now, if we really wanted to move those up, I mean, we could move pricing and, you know, they would go up pretty significantly. So we're always looking for the most opportunistic, you know, low-cost way to do it that leaves us with the most favorable interest rate risk positions.
Okay, and then maybe just one related item, just on the CD side, you know, any near-term relief on better pricing there? I think you were at 127 in the quarter. That was the average cost on the CD book. Is there anything coming up that's going to drive that down much lower?
John, you want to take that one?
Sure. Thank you. We have brought our CD rates down commensurately over the last quarter. There's probably a little more relief there, but I think all in, we've started to see a floor. I think where we're going to pick up the benefit is where we continue to see migration out of time deposit into more liquid money market and savings.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to management for any closing remarks.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for being on the call today. Thank you for your interest in our company. And we're always glad to take any questions or give us a call if we can be helpful. Thanks again.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.